Ladies and gentlemen, we'll call the meeting to order. Start the meeting, we'll call for a moment of silence, please. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Just doing a little bit of housekeeping. If anyone has any electronic devices, we would appreciate if you would turn them off during the meeting. Roll call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Clark Cottner.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson and Paul Greeno have both requested to be excused.
We could have a motion for Paul, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion for Steve.
Steve.
Lawrence, excuse.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
None. Opposed? None. Okay, motions are carried. Okay, the first item on our agenda this evening is audience participation, and I understand that Debbie Farmer wishes to come forward and has a few remarks for the council. Debbie, would you be kind enough to state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Debbie Farmer. I'm branch manager of the Blaine Library. My address is 5276 Cherry Tree Lane, and that's in Birch Bay. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you tonight. I am here right now, the month of September, to draw your attention to the fact that September is National Library Card Sign-Up Month. I'm just curious how many of you have library cards? Wonderful, wonderful. Well, hopefully people who are here who don't will realize a reason to come into the library to get a card, and those of you who already have a card will see some resource that just, wow, I should be using that. So tonight I'm going to present a short PowerPoint on what your library card can do. It's the ABCs, which I thought was quite appropriate. So what your library card can do for. We have an auto repair database. It is online. Any of our databases are available to you from the library and also online from home with your library card. We offer the Chilton Library, and it's very comprehensive. Just about every car every year is on here. My husband has an old computer in our garage, and he often references the Chilton Library when he's trying to fix our cars. B is biography and context. This is a very handy tool for students who have to do reports, or if you're just trying to brush up on information on a famous person of some sort. It includes website information, encyclopedias, magazines, all sorts of sources are available through biography and context. Consumer reports. We offer the magazine at the library. We also offer the annual reviews. This is very cool. This is the subscription, the online subscription that when you're perusing the internet from home and you get on consumer reports, they will then ask you to subscribe. Well, you have a built-in subscription with your library card. DVDs. Our library system, and of course we are part of the Whatcom County Library System, we offer over 23,000 DVDs in all different genres. E-books. Most of us now have e-book or e-readers of some sort. And it's real easy to start spending a lot of money with that one click. So when you've gotten to the point where you want to start saving money, or even if you get it, even if you don't get to that point, know that the library does offer ebooks, over 13,000 of them right now. We offer foreign language learning. We have two different databases, Mango and PowerSpeak Languages. Again, this is something that you can also access from home with your library card and the internet. We also have the Mango program is an app that you can put on your smartphone or your tablet and take with you whenever you're going to Italy or Israel or wherever. We have genealogy help. We have two different programs. One is the Heritage Quest Online. That offers a lot of census records and other information. And the library also subscribes to Ancestry.com. To use Ancestry.com, you do need to visit the Linden Library. Help Now. This is wonderful. This is live homework help. You have a built-in tutor available from 1 to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. It covers grades 1 through 12, Washington State curriculum aligned, and covers all sorts of subjects, English, math, science, Spanish. The gal that's pictured here, she's one of the friends of the Linden Library, and she got through calculus by using Help Now. I is for internet. We have 7 public internet stations at the Blaine Library. We also offer high-speed Wi-Fi when we aren't having network issues like we did the other day when we were having the census lady. I guess the whole city was down for that, so it wasn't just us. J is for Job and Career Accelerator. We have a lot of folks that come into the library looking for how to write a resume, searching job listings. This particular database, you can look at over 5 million job listings. You can explore different occupations, and it does offer cover letters and resume help. K is for kits. We have two featured here, the preschool theme kits. Each kit is based on a theme, obviously. Could be ABCs, it could be spring, it could be water. Each kit includes 8 or 9 picture books, always a book with some sort of an audio CD, a DVD, and some sort of toy or game, so some sort of manipulative that the kids can use. We do have preschools that check these out, but also many families are checking them out. And then the Reading Club kits, we have a number of book discussion groups in town, 2 at the library and then others, and they often utilize our reading club kits where you get 10 books in a kit, comes with a reading guide, and you can check them out for 6 weeks. L is for Learning Express. This offers all sorts of help to school students in lots of different subjects. Popular software tutorials if you're trying to learn Microsoft Word or Excel. Also GED preparation, occupation practice tests. If you are studying for the real estate exam or cosmetology or civil service, there are all sorts of helps available through the occupation practice tests, U.S. citizenship. This is a wonderful, wonderful resource. M is for music. We have over 18,000 music CDs in every genre imaginable. We also are offering a relatively new source called Freegal. It's free and legal. You can do 3 music downloads per week or a music video. There's over 7 million songs available. And what the beauty of this is that you can keep them. It's not just to borrow, but you can keep them. You can download them to your computer, to your iPad, your phone, whatever. I also want to point out M also stands for Microsoft IT Academy. This is something relatively new that the library is offering. In partnership with Microsoft and the Washington State Library, we are offering the IT Academy, which is worth thousands and thousands of dollars. You can take something as simple as Microsoft Word. You can go on up through all of the classes becoming an actual IT professional. You do have to arrange to take your certification tests elsewhere, and that does cost, but the actual instruction is free. Novelist is our what do I read next. If you've got a favorite author or favorite book, this will help you decide, oh, this is another author that you might like, and based on whether you like fast plots or wonderful place settings, memorable characters, this is a good reader's advisory tool. O is for outreach services. The Bookmobile has various stops, two of which include Birch Bay, one at the Birch Bay Square on Wednesdays from, I think it's 12:30 to 2, and then they go on down to Birch Bay to the Bay Center Market. On Wednesdays they're there from 3:30 to 7. There is a drop box at Bay Center Market, so you can always return your library materials there. Just know that they will be backdated to the previous Wednesday when the Bookmobile was there. Also, you can see it goes to the jail, to various rest homes. They do go to Staffold. That's our outreach. P is for playaways and other audiobooks. This little device right here is called a playaway. It's about, the size of an iPod. The whole book is loaded on that particular device. All you do is put your earbuds in, and it does take a AAA battery, and you're good to go. Stick it in your pocket and go for a run or whatever. It's not quite as cumbersome as carrying a bunch of audio CDs, which we also have a lot of books on CD. We also have downloadable audiobooks. Q is for quality service, and you can see here I have a wonderful staff. The WCLS tagline is the best place to begin. Our mini mantra at Blaine is we go overboard for you. R is for Reference USA. This can be of great help to businesses. This lists, it's a directory of U.S. businesses, Canadian businesses, and also consumers. And there's all sorts of parameters you can set. You know, if you're looking for how many booksellers there are in the Everett area, you can put in all sorts of qualifiers and get that information. S is for Small Engine Repair Reference Center. This covers marine engines, motorcycles, tractors, your lawnmower. So a lot of different older items too are included on here, and this and the Chilton Library has been of great help to us because we don't have enough room to house all of these manuals in print, and so this is a way that we can still help our patrons when they come to the library or direct them to their computers at home. T is for Tumble Books. This is a darling. Resource for kids that are learning how to read. There are storybooks and read-alongs, lots of puzzles and games. It's all based on reading. This is an example of what a page in one of the stories looks like. You've got the text, and the text is highlighted as the story is being read aloud, so the child can follow along and see what words are being read. All different grade levels, too. U is for used book sale. We are very busy with our used book sale, especially in the summer. A lot of visitors come in, and that is the main funding source for the Friends of the Library. And we love our friends. They are able to fund so many programs that we otherwise wouldn't have the luxury of doing. V is for voter registration forms and drive-up ballot box. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. W is for WorldCat and interlibrary loans. Because we are part of the library system, the Whatcom County Library System, and we cooperate with the Bellingham Libraries, we're able to get items from all of those libraries delivered to the Blaine Library for you. We also have access to over 10 million libraries worldwide through the WorldCat program. I would say about 95% of the time we can find what you are looking for. It may come from Timbuktu, but we can get it for you, and it's part of our service. X is for Xerox. I was struggling with X. We do have a photocopier. It's not a Xerox, but we do have a photocopier. Y, I was kind of struggling with Y, too. We have yoga books and magazines and DVDs, and plus that was kind of an interesting picture. Z is for Zinio e-magazines. In addition to the e-books and the e-music, we have e-magazines. We have over 100 magazines. They're popular magazines, National Geographic, Country Living, science magazines. The beauty of this, too, is that you can download the magazine and read it offline later. So it's great when you're on the airplane or you're not in a Wi-Fi environment. So those are the ABCs. Just a couple more things. I've given you three handouts. One is the read-on. We publish that. The library system publishes that once a month. It just gives you information about the library system as a whole. The other item is the Blaine specific Blaine Public Library event card. We put this out once a month. And all of these things are available through email, too, if you ask for them. And you can see a lot of different things happening at the Blaine Library, a lot of kids' programs, book discussion groups, computer tutoring, our Raspberry Pi group. We have a Lego Mindstorms group. So all sorts of things going on. And then the last item I want to draw your attention to is the Explorations brochure. This is brand new for the library system. This lists all of the different programs that are being offered at the various branches in Whatcom County, all kind of based on the exploration theme. We're finding that people are traveling from other locations in Whatcom County to attend some of our programs, and so we thought it would benefit us and them to let them know what some of our diverse programs are to, again, try to attract people who would be interested in those particular programs. I think that's all I have. Are there any questions?
Questions for Debbie?
Well, thank you. I hope Debbie, to see all of you very soon.
Thank you very much for your very comprehensive presentation. Thank you again. We have a sign-up sheet, and we have Glenn Pentland. You would like to come forward, Glenn, and please be kind enough to state your name and address for the record.
My name is Glenn Pentland, and I live at 1283 Harrison Avenue. And I'm with the Salishan chapter of the Blaine Neighborhood Association.
Glenn,
I can't hear you unless you speak better in the microphone.
I will speak louder into the microphone. Sorry about that.
I'm also guilty of not doing that myself, but that's okay.
It's okay.
We have some hearing challenges here, so.
There we go. And you got to go. Very good. Thank you very much for the opportunity to give a very short presentation this evening. And so thank you very much. And I also wanted just a special thank you to Michael, who's been very helpful to our group in answering many of our questions over the last few months. So greatly appreciate it. The Blaine Association has been working with a number of groups, a number of citizens that are quite concerned about the west side of Peace Portal in the downtown area and the idea of protecting some of those views. So we're very concerned about that. And tonight we just wanted to present to you our view on that. And really to just ask you to, if there's an opportunity to look into it further through a working committee to see if you think there's more merit to this idea and explore it in a little more detail. In terms of the water views, downtown water views, we can all agree that we actually love the views downtown. They're pretty amazing and pretty spectacular. Those sunsets are like none I've ever seen anywhere in the world. So we can agree to that. They really do help define Blaine. They make Blaine feel very special. And they are a real distinguishing factor for Blaine. We're not Ferndale. We are Blaine. We have these amazing views. And these views do attract residents and visitors to this area very much so. For my wife and I, it was many years ago that we first came through Peace Portal, and it was the views that really attracted us and made us stop and get out. And it was the views that made us really intrigued by this small town. So the idea of losing these views through development on the west side of Peace Portal is a concern for not only me, but for many residents. When I drive down Peace Portal and I drive by the blue condos on the west side of Peace Portal by Boblett, I just get that moment's hesitation of regret and loss as those views are gone forevermore. And those condos do stand as a bit of a testament of what the remainder of the west side of Peace Portal could look like at some time. And I know I'm not alone in talking to many residents. There is a real feeling of pride and wanting to covet those views. So just very briefly, in terms of the current situation, we all want to revitalize the downtown area. There's no doubt about that. And every time a proposal comes up on the west side, there's also lots of excitement, and rightfully so, because we want development in the downtown area. One of the challenges, though, when we are eager to invite that development on the west side, is that it's the contrary to protecting those views that we think are special and they define us. So the conundrum that we have is that if I'm a developer, I can't develop on the west side because it doesn't seem like it's viable. But we're not quite sure about that, and it's probably something we should investigate to see how viable development is on the west side. And I can't develop on the east side because I can't sell the units simply because I'm concerned the risk of development on the west side. So it's a bit of a conundrum. So our view is there's an opportunity to purchase some of these lots on the west side, but perhaps stimulate development on the west side. So we did hand out a letter earlier today, and it did have a bit of a plan, a two-page plan, just in terms of what we envision how this would unfold. And there's about four phases to it. The idea of a committee would really be engaged in that first phase to better understand what this initiative is all about. What are the desired properties? What are their values? What does the public think about it? What kind of funding is involved, whether it's a bond or a levy? Is it a fund? Are there grants available? Public fundraising. It's a lot of work, we realize that, but we have a very committed group that's certainly willing to do a lot of the heavy lifting. In terms of factors for success for an initiative like this, it's a lot of moving parts, but clearly a united vision, broad-based group for some leadership, and it's collaboration and working together. The other side of the coin is absolutely critical to these kind of projects, and it's often where they fall short. Methodical planning, sound research, and clear documentation, extensive documentation to keep people focused and to ensure good decision-making and good execution. And very quickly, all of these types of projects have certain amounts of risks involved, and it's a matter of understanding what those risks are up front, taking the appropriate action on those risks, and where those risks there's a mitigation plan can't be in place, just understanding that inherent risk and what that means. Again, just good discipline. So finishing up, we have a vision. 100 years from now, our great-grandchildren will proudly tell stories about, excuse me, about residents and counselors who exercised the foresight, the vision, and the determination to protect Peaceport Drive's water views for everyone to enjoy evermore. We believe that this is important. We believe it's important to Blaine's future, and we would ask you to consider the idea of a committee to look and see if this idea has more merit. And we would certainly be willing to participate in that process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn. Are there any questions for Glenn?
Okay. Yeah. Glenn, go ahead, Dennis. You mentioned a joint committee. Now, that to me means you got a couple of groups that you're considering.
I'm not sure how committees are set up with council, if it's an independent committee or if you invite citizens to participate. If you do invite citizens to participate, we would certainly be willing to do that. And we have some people that would be willing to put in a fair bit of time.
David, would you like to comment on the process that we would use?
Well, I think it's straightforward. If the council would wish us to put this on the agenda, then we would agendize it for the next meeting. We'd have a staff report. We would talk to the committee members of your group. We've already got the letter that you've received as well. We would agendize it, and then the council would decide whether they'd like to form the committee and move forward or not. So it's fairly straightforward, I think. At least the front end is.
Okay. Maybe just one last comment. We will be handing out a packet with the hard copy of the presentation, and we also have in there a listing of all the properties on the west side of Peace Portal by block. Just for your own information.
Okay.
Can we have a, you said you have copies of that spreadsheet?
Yes, Kathleen will handle that momentarily.
Any other questions for Glenn? Go ahead, Dennis.
Question regarding if property is purchased and the city becomes the owner of it, how will that be maintained?
I would suspect there's some phases to this in terms of what would happen to those properties over the longer term. I think the first phase is to look at what is saleable to the residents in the community. So the idea of securing some properties would be the number one first piece off the agenda. The later event would be, and that first piece may be some fencing, it may be some occasional grooming of the properties, but it's just holding those properties for the time being. And then once those properties are in city ownership, then other activities could be planned for those properties based on the will of council and the will of the residents. So, for example, I could say I want to put a park here or I want to do this here. I don't think that's really appropriate for me to make those kind of thoughts. I think it's more of a committee process as to what would eventually be used for that land. The idea, I think, if we go forward to try and get public support, and we think there's strong public support, but to actually gain that support through a levy, we'd need some kind of a guarantee around those views to some degree. It becomes city-owned land, it's that type of thing.
Thank you, Glenn.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like
some direction from council would be good.
Direction would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, Dennis?
I think we should look at it.
Okay. Dennis, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'd say take a look at it.
Money?
I'm willing to take a look at it. I think, you know, these people on this list are the really primary stakeholders when we're talking about their property, and of course they're going to want fair market value, and then it remains to be seen how this is all going to be paid for. But, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, we don't see if it's possible. I did notice between G and H Street, there's some lots that aren't marked on the drawing, and I'm not real sure. Not to get detailed about it, but I just noticed that.
I think those are vacant now.
So,
Yeah, so the circles are all on the vacant lots. So it's just the vacant lots that are there now. There's a number of vacant lots, and part of that process would be seen as to which ones would be desirable to be purchased. And there's a lot of thought that would go into that in terms of what would make good sense.
I was looking at just the opposite. Okay, so the ones on here are vacant. Okay.
Mark?
You know, this is the kind of deal. You're going to have everybody that's on the strip agree to do this, or you're going to make somebody very rich. Because if 10 decide to sell and there's two left, their property just went like that. So how are you going to manage that? How are you going to get all of them to agree to it?
I think that's part of the committee is to work through this. But the idea, I think, is pretty straightforward in terms of the idea of protecting views on the west side, development probably happening on the east side. Those on the west side, one of the first conversations is with those stakeholders. Do they wish to sell their land? Do they wish to hold their land? Do they wish to trade their land for some other city land? Various options, I'm not sure. But to have that conversation to see where they're at. I think one of the outstanding pieces is the value of those properties. We have assessed values, we have market values, but we're really not sure whether they're viable to even build on. And
now,
that's
what I'm saying
important
is,
information.
If you get 8 or 9, 10 people agree to it and you got two left, you just change their assessed value, way they're up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not exactly, no.
Well, I think I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, and I don't think this will work. We don't have that kind of money. I mean, you're going to wind up spending millions of dollars.
I think it's a case of looking at perhaps a few lots that are deemed to be viable, they're good view lots. It makes sense to protect that part of the west side and perhaps stimulate correspondingly across. The way we see it right now is just that conundrum discontinues, right? So there's no development happens on the west, no development happens on the east. The idea, if there's public support for it, is to purchase a few lots on the west side, and that may help break that circle of non-development.
Michael, I was going to ask a question. Have the changes to the shoreline had any effect on these properties, the values of them, and what it's going to cost to construct on these buildings? Have we ever looked into that aspect of it?
We haven't adopted our new shoreline program, but if we are able to adopt the one that we have in a final draft at the Planning Commission, if that's what the state accepts, it will actually have relatively little impact on these properties because they're already regulated, and the things that limit them, like height limits closer to the shoreline in the shoreline jurisdiction area, will still apply. They apply today. They'll apply in a year or two. But our new program won't have a dramatic effect. Mostly our explanation has been it's an urban area, and it's separated from the shoreline by the railroad tracks and elevation. So we're fairly confident that that will be accepted by the state. So I don't think that the new program will dramatically affect the properties.
Well, my kind of feelings is if there are a group of people that are willing to do this kind of work and study it and come up with some recommendations, I would be in favor of it. And I think maybe we should add it to our agenda and discuss it in greater detail at our next meeting. That would be my feeling.
Okay, I guess there's a consensus there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn. Okay. Next item on the agenda is written communications. Do we have any written communications, Sherry?
We received an email dated August 26th from John Urich regarding the proposed playground at Marine Park, and an email dated August 28th from Karina Shapilova regarding the city of Blaine Audit, and I know I mispronounced her name.
Okay. Consent agenda is the next item on the agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $159,126.17, approval of payroll in the amount of $473,381.23, approval of the council minutes for August the 25th, 2014, and approval of resolution 1648-14 and interlocal agreement with Cities Insurance Association of Washington for change in the fiscal year. Does anyone care to make a motion?
I have a question.
Okay, question.
On item four, city manager, what is the change? What is the fiscal year now?
The fiscal year right now is from September 1st through August 31st, mm-hmm. and it will change to December 1st through November 30th.
Okay, and this is at their request. They won't
that
they
is correct.
Change. Is there a reason given for that, or just...
I don't know. It was just some review that they did. They changed the bylaws. They determined, I guess, that it would work best mm-hmm. for the pool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Should make no difference to us. So.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion will carry... We got here 5-0. Okay, the next item on the agenda, let me get my agenda opened up, is going to be council action items. The first item is ordinance 14-2859, amending Title 15, the Fire Protection Building and Energy Codes. Michael, you're going to present that?
Yes, sir. This is really a relatively straightforward change to our code. It's Title 15, as you mentioned, so this is the first time it's being seen before a hearing body. So unlike something in Title 17 or 16, which would go to the Planning Commission for public hearings and that sort of a public process, this comes directly to council, as does the amendments to a lot of the other sections of the municipal code. This would basically update the city to use the most current versions of the building and energy code and the fire code. It brings it to us to the 2012 version of the fire code, which is also the most recent version there. It is written so that it would, under the building code sections and the energy code sections, it would just automatically roll forward to the most current version. The fire code would be something we'd look at each time. It is essentially what we're doing today. You know how that is. The state adopts a new code, says this is what the cities need to use. We then, in turn, begin to utilize that. We just hadn't updated our city code frequently enough to be kind of keeping time with that. So it won't really be a change, per se, although we will now be consistent in what we're doing and what the code says. We did make a staff recommendation that you might want to hold a public hearing on this, give people an opportunity to speak to it. I don't know that you'll get much comment on that. Alternatively, you could just waive the second reading and adopt it this evening. We presented both of those options for you. We've been working with the fire district on this, so Mr. Hollander is here in case you have any questions from his perspective on this. But again, this is kind of a joint effort on the fire code. We both agree that this is the right way to go.
Thank you, Michael. Any questions or comments for him? Bunny?
On the increased driveway width, is that something that... the fire district is proposing that the city adopt?
Yes and no. The fire district is proposing that we go to the 2012 code, and they would like to see increased width for longer driveways. This is actually generally consistent with what we have in our short plat requirements for when a property is or when a driveway is serving multiple properties, and there are the different widths for increasing width as you have more and more homes on it, sort of serving as a private drive. Then the longer driveways is something specifically the fire district is interested in seeing, that the turnouts for longer driveways.
Explain to me why, just because a driveway is longer, you need it to be wider to turn around in versus if it's not as long.
The issue is the need to be able to pass a vehicle. The fire, if it's especially long, so first of all, if it's relatively short, the fire truck will park out front and they will run hoses to the home.
Okay.
So the length isn't really an issue until you get to a certain length. And at about 150 feet, they would actually be driving down there. And if you have a 500 or 600 foot long driveway and there's traffic moving in both directions, you could theoretically have emergency vehicles have to back up hundreds of feet back out to the main road. And so this gives you an opportunity to pass.
Oh,
So their turnouts.
Would they be able to turn around at the end of the driveway where they are near the property or right?
Well, if this is long enough that it requires a turnaround, that's something that would also be included. But these are places where there's a turnout, sort of like when you're on a mountain road and there's a place where if you're backing up too many vehicles with your RV or your trailer, there's a spot for you to pull to aside and let the vehicles pass. Yeah. It's that concept only. It's for opposing traffic, having a place to turn. And so there's a couple of components in here. One is increasing width just because you're serving more homes. But then if the driveway gets long enough, there's the extra wide spot where vehicles could pass each other and not have to back up. We don't have a lot of those driveways. Those would be very rare. I just want to be clear. 150-foot long driveway is quite a long driveway in Blaine.
Okay.
Any other questions for Michael?
Michael, does any of this affect the rail cars?
No, not really, because this is, and Henry can correct me if I'm wrong, this relates to building construction and fire safety in buildings, and it doesn't really have any bearing on the handling of freight and movement of the cargo through a community on the railway.
But if you have cars that are pulled off on a siding and they're compressed gas of some type, does that not become a concern for the fire district at that point?
Well, I think it's definitely a concern for the fire district, and it could be a concern for anyone, but we're talking about building construction, and that the cargo car parked on the side of the road not being a building is not regulated by this code.
Yeah, I don't believe the city has any capacity to regulate on the railway right away as much as we'd like to. There's a lot of things we'd like to do differently, I think.
Yeah.
They do have almost a pure autonomy.
The state may regulate at some point.
Federal government, more likely.
Yeah, more likely.
Yeah.
I would really like to get the council's point of view on the terms of whether we would like to hold a public hearing. Anyone like to comment, Charlie?
I don't. First, I think we should just pass it today. I don't see any issue
for anybody. Anyone else like to comment on it? Feel the same way?
No.
Would you recommend us having a public hearing or pass it this evening? Okay, no. What about you, Bonnie?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. I am too. Dennis, how do you feel?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any.
Okay. Well, then, based on that, I think then we should follow the staff recommendation to waive the second reading and take and pass Ordinance 142859. So moved. Okay.
Second.
Okay. Any other further comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, hearing no negative, the motion carries 5-0. Next item on the council action items is a bid award for the Vista Terrace Sanitary Sewer Improvements. Phase one.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The bids for this project were actually opened on August 28th. Stremler Gravel was a low bid in the amount of $219,080.49. This was about $20,000 less than the engineer's estimate, and we are recommending that you award to the low bidder. I should let you know that this is for phase one of Vista Terrace sanitary sewer improvement. So this is for the improvements on Allen Street. I was going to do a brief update in my project report, but I'll just tell you a little bit of an update on the financial side of this now, because we've been working on that since the bids opened, to kind of take these costs and attribute them through the rest of the project, because we have the next phase next year, and we also spoke to you earlier this year about funding some component of private improvements and so forth. So based on the costs that we're getting in here, a little bit higher than what we were looking at the planning level, and as a result, what we're looking at is doing the full sewer improvement, still covering the GFFs, and covering the septic tank decommissioning. So not necessarily taking the pipe from
someone's house all the way to the road. Those costs are going to be very variable by each residence and have an added cost for design as well as, you know, the uncertainty about how those are done, whereas the septic tank decommissioning is pretty basic, similar for every property. It'd be a much more equitable distribution of those grant funds. So we still think we have a very viable project. We're excited by the bids. We're excited to get going. And for that, we recommend that you award to Spremler Gravel. Our plan is to introduce the contractor and some of the latest update on the project to the residents out there on a meeting. It'll either be here or at the Senior Center on September 19th, so a week from Friday at 5:30.
Any questions for Rita? Okay. Staff is recommending that the council accept the bid and authorize the city manager to enter into the contract with Stemler Gravel, Inc. in the amount of $219,080.49. Anyone care to make a motion to that effect? Clark makes the motion. The motion's been made and seconded. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Next item on the agenda is the Commission, Committee, and Board reports. Clark, do you have a...
No report at this time, but one should be done.
Okay. Steve is not here. Bonnie, anything on the Chamber of Commerce?
No, I missed the meeting last week, so no report.
Okay, WTA Board, Paul's not here. Charlie, how about Drayton Harbor Shellfish?
No report.
Dennis, how about the Library Committee?
Debbie took care of that.
I think she did a good job, too. Dennis, how about the Senior Center Liaison?
Wednesday, the community meals is back on schedule.
Okay.
And Saturday, the 20th, is the breakfast again. And they're starting to do their fall activities, which involves a whole bunch of things.
Okay. Michael Jones, do you want to talk on the Planning Commission?
No report from the Planning Commission, sir, and no report from the Park and Cemetery Board.
Okay. Small Cities Caucus, there'll be a meeting later this month. Finance Committee, Mr. City Manager, do you want to comment on the Finance Committee?
Just that we do have included in your packet a budget calendar, which we're going to be following, including a meeting with the Finance Committee coming up in October. I don't see it right here on this list. We are going to ask the Finance Committee to get together soon.
Okay. Thank you. Washington Council of Governments, there is a meeting this week, and we'll have a report on that later. North Whatcom Fire Update. Chief Hollander.
Good evening, Council. First of all, thank you very much for adopting the fire code, and I'd like to thank all of your staff for working with us to get that accomplished. As you know, we are enforcing all the current codes, so it really helps that we've adopted the current codes. I shared with you this evening a copy of our newsletter, and I'll just highlight two interesting parts in there. First of all, we have 8 new volunteers that we just swore in last Thursday at our commissioner meeting. So we're starting to see a little bit of an insurgence of folks that wanted to become volunteer firefighters again. So those 8 just came on board, and we've started another academy last Saturday with 6 more firefighters. And interestingly enough, 5 of them are females out of 6. So the last class had no females. It was all males, and this one is 5 females and 1 male. So that information is on your sheet. And then lastly, I wanted to remind you that on September 11th, we will be having the 911 memorial service at the Peace Arch Park. And it'll be at 9 o'clock in the morning. Hopefully everyone that is available can walk over to the park and honor all of those that died in the 911 events. Any questions?
Anything burned down in Simeon Moon?
Pardon me?
Anything burned down in Simeon Moon the last couple of weeks?
Any other questions? Thank you, Chief. Next item is department reports. Public Works.
Oh, lots going on in Public Works. This is a hectic time for us with trying to get things built before the weather changes and all of that good stuff. Hopefully you got a chance to look in the conference room at the lights that will be installed in this room as a part of the completion of the ESCO project for at least the lighting component. Tomorrow we have a final inspection for the work that's been occurring at Lighthouse Point, and that went very well. That was a little hair-raising at times with the shutdowns and so forth, but overall we had the right people doing the job at the right time. So it was actually a real pleasure seeing how things came together. The H Street sidewalk project was a quick project as promised. It is substantially complete. There's some minor punch list items, pavement markings and things like that that should occur this week. A reminder of our award ceremony for the Lighthouse Point compliance in 2013. We'd really love to see a lot of you there. We'll have some refreshments and so forth, but we're very excited about our perfect performance and hope it is the first of many years.
Time and date.
Time and date is this Wednesday at 11:30 at Lighthouse Point. We have a representative from Department of Ecology that will be presenting to us.
When you get those new lights, are they, you're going to replace these lights in here, right?
The new pendant lights will go where all of these are hanging that we never use. The reason we don't use
them. Then they will be on during when we're using this room or what?
That would be the idea, or they could be at least intermixed with, but you won't be stuck with the spotlights all the time. Yeah. And if you didn't have a chance to step in, there's a nice amount of light generated by one light. We're actually going to put a second one in there. And it's taken 5 months to get that sample. It's the first LED of its style that fit in our, you know, kind of the style of this building in fabrication. So we got one of the first off the floor. That's why it took so long, I guess. Our crews are still working with some ditch maintenance and so forth. They'll be on Peace Portal and on U Avenue, continuing to prepare for the overlay later this month. We had a very successful recruitment of our lineman position. I made an offer to a candidate on Friday, and he accepted and will be starting on the 22nd of September. So wanted to talk to you very briefly about the outage that occurred last week. So as you may be aware, a UPS truck was turning into the driveway at the UPS Center at Hughes Avenue and Peace Portal and clipped the wire with the trailer of his truck. When he clipped the wire, it was probably either the phone or the cable line. It wasn't the power line, but when he pulled it, it pulled everything down. We lost two poles. It occurred just before 4 p.m. on Thursday evening. We had crews on site immediately. We had full power to everyone other than the UPS place and the trailer park within 1 hour. The crews worked all night to reset the two poles and start doing the wiring, and then the following morning at 5 a.m. we fired up our generator and kept the UPS office in business while we reconnected their underground service. It was a really good exercise for the Public Works Department in seeing our two crews work together. Because we're down a lineman, we had one lineman on vacation last week. We only had three linemen to respond to this all-night-out emergency. And so we had a total of eight guys, five from the maintenance crew helping out with the digging and the grabbing signs here and there and grabbing these tools and whatnot. And we had a wonderful debriefing on Friday, talked a little bit about the coordination with the police department and communication. Communication was incredibly challenged because the Verizon wireless, which you would think is wireless, was somehow affected when the fiber was knocked out at that intersection. So everyone on Verizon, which happens to be all of our city crew, were not able to speak by phone. So really reinforce the importance of our radio system, because that was the only way that they would be able to touch.
I think that's when our internet went down, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because of that fiber.
Yep, exactly. And that's why a lot of the repair of that was really dependent on getting those two poles back up. Mm-hmm. Then all the other utility companies could follow us with their repairs. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. There's a publication for energy and utility news for the Pacific Northwest and Western Canada called Clearing Up, which actually quoted me in an interview regarding the Bonneville Power's rate period high water month prediction. So they do a rate period high water mark that essentially establishes the bottom line for where we are with Tier 1 and Tier 2, and then our consumption is the other line. And so those lines work together. So what's been going on is their practice and their some of their changes in business practices have affected their rate period high water mark and brought that down, which is then bringing our consumption line closer to Tier 2 in a time frame that is quicker than what we predict. So I participated in an online or a phone meeting with Bonneville. They asked if I would submit public comment during the comment period, and I did so, and this paper picked up my comment and then interviewed me over the phone. I can tell you that we have asked them to recalculate the rate period high water mark and their predictions for Blaine post-ESCO project, because that was one of the benefits of the project, if you'll recollect, was holding off that Tier 2 power rate. And then next Monday, I'll be going over to the peninsula and meeting at a regional meeting with the president of Bonneville Power and trying to raise some awareness about how business practices of big agencies might affect a small utility. Because even though they're working with us and they want to bring, you know, the information into their model for the ESCO project, they really, you know, they're so big, it's like, oh, yeah, our little line dropped by, you know, 8/10 or something like that. Well, 8/10 for a town like Blaine could be a difference in that power rate jumping between 2020 and 2017. And so that's something that I'm working to prevent. So I just wanted to let you know I'll be doing that. If you have any questions. All right. Well, thank you.
Community Development Services, Michael, do you want to?
So this may seem like it doesn't make any sense at all because I'm the planner, right? And I'm the guy who would tell you that street trees increase property values. Street trees compared to for streets that have trees compared to streets that don't have trees, they will have a higher income potential from the businesses that are operating on them. Street trees clean the air. They keep our water clean. They keep it from becoming overwhelmingly hot in a concrete environment. And for a long, long list of reasons, street trees are a really good thing, and I will stand here over and over and argue to tell you to put them in and tell you how good they are. But unfortunately, street trees are good and bad. And there's, as I said there in my subtitle, there's sort of a love-hate relationship. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the hate side because we're having some challenges. First of all, this is what Peace Portal Drive looks like down by Hill Chevron. We have two different varieties of trees there. The golden-colored ones this time of year, they turn gold first, are katsura trees. They're a really nice specimen tree native to Japan. The taller trees are Armstrong red maples. They're a hybrid that's not really quite native to anywhere. That shape is not a normal natural thing, but they're pretty common in the northern hemisphere, the maple trees like that, red maples. An interesting little tidbit, the katsura trees this time of year will smell like caramel or like fresh baked cake when you walk by. So if you're walking through one of those intersections and smell for the oddest reason, it smells really delicious. You can blame that on the trees. It may not be the bakery. That only lasts for about a week, but it's really kind of an interesting little thing. This is just a little bit further down the street, but here's the front of Pastimes looking down towards Hill Chevron about 15 years ago. There were no street trees. It looked pretty bleak. A lot of other things have changed in the meantime, but to a great extent, the street trees are a primary thing that is different in this picture compared to the other one. Unfortunately, only the street trees that have large tree wells like this are the ones that seem to be growing nicely without disrupting the built environment. This is one of the Katsura trees, and it's right there in front of the steakhouse. Even the electric power, the three utility meters or boxes that are there, are not being disrupted. The bricks, for the most part, are staying well in place, and I think the ones that are moving are just moving because there's dirt next to them instead of a liner. And the sidewalk's basically flat. That's not the case with a lot of the maples because they're in very small planter strips. Here's some bricks that are peeling up in front of Pastimes, and that's because, and this is actually another tree on the other side, same sort of thing happening. It's hard for you to see, but there's a tree root right there. You can kind of see it in the brown behind the ivy. And that tree root has moved the electric power out of the way and is lifting the bricks and headed towards the curb. This is another tree in that same area where the one of the major tree roots is coming towards you in this picture. It's lifted the bricks in the sort of the center of that tree well and is lifting that piece of pavement enough that you can see that Public Works has had to grind it down on three sides to try and get them to not be so much of a trip hazard. And here's just another picture of something, again, very similar. You're familiar now from seeing a few of those examples of roots lifting and moving, shifting the bricks. The trees are great. They're wonderful. But that type of tree, a maple like that, would typically be planted in about a 5 to 6 foot wide planter strip. Our planter strips are about 2.5 feet wide. So it's really a challenging environment where we've placed them. I'd encourage you to take a walk along Peace Portal Drive and look at how variable the trees are in size. That's another really interesting thing that plays into all of this. Some of them are only, trees are typically measured diameter breast height, which is 4.5 feet off the ground. And some of those trees are only about a 5 or 6 inch diameter. Others are almost 18 inches diameter. There's that much variability based upon the water, the irrigation, the soils in that particular location, the shading, the exposure to the salt breezes. You can really see the difference. In front of Hill Chevron, the trees are all sort of one-sided for that reason because there's no buildings on the other side. So there's a lot of variability. Where the trees are bigger and healthier, the sidewalks are worse. And it's increasingly becoming a problem. And this is where the planner part of this comes into play. Here's a couple more examples. Here's a little tiny root growing between the sidewalk. It's about an inch across. You can tell by the chewed up piece of gum there. But it's already pushing one aside and lifting the other panel. So the reason that I'm saying this is a planner thing is I think we need to plan for the future. We need to realize that at a certain point these trees are going to become too big and we're going to have the awkward situation of deciding that we have to do something. And I'm pretty sure at the time we're not going to say tear out the sidewalk, tear out the street, and let the trees grow. I'm pretty sure the decision is going to go the other way. And it's going to say tear out the trees and let's fix the sidewalk. So I'm encouraging that we start to plan for replacement. And that plan is something that I have kind of kicked off on my own by a decision I made when meeting with the folks at Edeline Dairy talking about the visibility of their building and how the building is basically encroached upon by the trees. Of course, the trees were there first, but we want the building, right? So what Raven and I have been discussing and we've been coordinating on is the idea of basically taking out every other tree or every alternating tree in the maples, leaving the corner trees in place, the katsuras. They're really well-placed trees in appropriately sized tree wells. They will, I think, do well for a really long time. Those trees can get as much as 60 or 80 feet tall in their native environment, but that's growing in a forest in Japan, not on the side of the street in Blaine. So they're probably about as big as they're going to get. The biggest ones, the katsuras are variable too, but the ones that you see out there that are the biggest are probably about as big as they're going to get. That's a perfect size, and they're beautiful. The maples are beautiful as well, but unfortunately the maples get a lot bigger than they are. And the idea of taking out every other tree allows us to not only give those trees a little bit more room for the period of time that they stay, but to replant in those empty spots so that we can cycle the other ones out eventually. I don't want us to come to a situation 10 or 15 years down the road where the city says they have to go, and then we end up with little tiny popsicle sticks out there. So the initial proposal, and here are just some pictures of the trees very close to the buildings. They were growing right in that window in Edeline before they put the window in. They had to push it out of the way to install the window. Down at Edeline, what I've tentatively told the property owners that will allow is removal of two trees, one that's directly in front of their exposure and one a little bit further down. That will leave one right next to the building, and then we'll require planting of another one where the green arrow is, so there'll be a replacement tree will go in, because there would have been one there if there wasn't a driveway there, and there won't be a driveway there because we've moved things around a little bit with the development, so that would be the appropriate place for a tree to come in. That's if another one comes down in front of the old pizza place, which is now a mail handling facility, that would be basically removing every other tree on that block. And then again, as I said, we would work towards figuring out what the best replacement plan is. We probably wouldn't replace immediately because we need to allow some time for at least the smaller roots to rot out. Grinding these tree stumps is going to be very challenging because there's electric and there's water and there's curbs, and it's not like out in someone's front yard. It's going to be challenging. So we're kind of counting on rot and some time to help us with that. If we were to do the same thing on the other side of the street, which is what we're proposing at this point, is we would remove three trees on that block and leave four, not counting the katsuras. That's all we would do at this time. And then over a period of time, we would suggest continuing to remove every other tree, probably over 3 to 5 years, so it's budget sensitive and we're not trying to do a really big project all at once. And then eventually replanting after removal. That might be another 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. But several years down the road, we'll come to a point where we'll be putting in new trees, probably a different species, maybe not. Maybe we'll decide that it worked. Or maybe it's possible 6 years or 10 years from now when this has to be finalized, we'll say, you know what, those maples are working. We can do this. We can cut bigger tree wells for them. But they're okay now that they have a little bit more room between them. You can still see the buildings. That sort of thing. In any case, movement forward, I think, is really important. We've talked about this for a while and haven't really taken any action. What we'd like to do is just have a community meeting, probably the end of this month. Tentatively, Raven and I have set aside time on Monday evening, the 29th, which is a non-council night, and we would send out a mailer to all the business owners, send a mailer to all the property owners and go hand out leaflets to all the business owners. So that they're aware of it, and obviously post this for the public in case they're interested in attending, because I know there will be people interested in attending, and start to develop an action plan. I wanted to let you know about that for two reasons. One, I have tentatively approved Edeline to remove two trees, and I figure if you absolutely are against that, you can tell me that, and I will tell them that they don't have approval to do that. But also, if a chainsaw shows up on Peace Portal Drive, I'm pretty sure you're going to notice, and I wanted you to be aware of that in advance. So that, just general information overall, but I'd be really happy to get any comments back from you, either now or if you want to grab me at another time, if you need some time to think about it.
You can't get that beaver to come up there and pick the two trees for you?
The beaver in Cane Creek? It would be nice if it worked that way.
Question. Have you thought about when you remove every other one, just letting it be at that? I love street trees myself, but maybe there's more than we need downtown.
Yeah.
Maybe the spacing could be farther apart. So, you know, maybe we should think about not replacing the ones that we pull out and just eventually maybe replacing the other ones that stay.
Right, and we're looking at not under this concept, which is very preliminary. We're looking at not replacing any trees except for if, like, a tree hits one, or a car hits one, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not replanting the row of trees for at a minimum something like 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
And that would give us time to make
that
decision.
If we need to even
right,
replace them.
And the other point being that eventually, under this concept, when we did replant in those alternating spots, that would be approximately when all of the other trees would come down. So we'd still end up with only every other tree, but they'd be the opposite ones.
Yeah.
So what you would see for a while would be a tree in a well with the shrubs, with the hedge, the boxwood hedge. Then in the next tree well, there would just be the boxwood hedge. Mm-hmm. And then, again, a tree with the hedge, and then just the hedge. So we would have the planter areas, but they would just be green with the shrubs.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
So that was it. Just wanted to let you know about that.
Just to get clear in my mind, you're talking about a meeting on the 29th?
Yes. It's not for council unless you want to come. It's a community meeting where we'll present this concept and let people know what we're thinking about and look for input.
Will you come back with a recommendation for us? Or?
We will, but I do want to let you know that block down by Edeline is going to be a pilot study, so to speak, and it will happen unless you direct me otherwise at this point.
I think that needs to be done, and it would be a good chance to see what it would look like.
So, and you had that green arrow, and that would be planted.
It looks like we'll probably plant that one now because it's this hole that becomes a spot in the landscape there, and it's where it's...
Same type of tree?
Probably a red maple. We've thought about the idea of let's try an alternate tree, the kind that we might use in the future. But if we follow this program I'm talking about, well, that one would get cut down anyway, so it probably makes sense for it to be one of the red maples. So it would match. Otherwise, it'll be odd for the next several years.
So, Michael, there's not going to be a driveway then off Peace Portal?
There will be, but it's actually – the way that it was set up before they started construction was there was an alley – and about 5 or 10 feet south, there was a driveway. Well, the driveway's going away, and the curb cut is only going to be for the alley. You wouldn't know it's an alley. You can't tell, but on paper, it's an alley. And they'll come in the alley off of Peace Portal and then into their parking lot. So basically, there were two curb cuts side by side. One's going away.
Okay. So
the one that's already gone, actually. If you go down there, you can see it.
Okay.
But it's the one that was further south, the one that used to go probably into the little coffee
So there's no
there.
Driveway, no curb cut on F Street?
There is a curb cut on F Street in the back of the building.
Okay.
So you can drive around the
you
back of the building.
Around,
and their deliveries will come in from F Street, unload, and then drive out on Peace Portal. They get deliveries at about 7 in the morning, so that will be gone before a lot of us are out there. But
the entrance is going to be off of Peace Portal?
I think the primary entrance will be off of Peace Portal, but there's no – they're both entrances. Well, there's a double yellow line there. I'm quite certain that all the traffic from Canada will go down to F Street, turn left, and then come in the F Street entrance, or go all the way down to G Street and go around the block and come in the proper direction, because we all know no one makes a U-turn in the middle of the street in Blaine.
Or cut across the double line.
But yes, Councilman Wilson, it's exactly what you're thinking.
We could put a roundabout on F Street.
We might need a roundabout at the entrance to the dairy. they tell me, Dave Dodson is their general manager, and he tells me that he anticipates that they will sell more ice cream than they do in Sumas by the scoop, more milk than they do at their Guide Meridian store, and more specialty product than they do at their downtown Linden store. I don't know much about milk and cheese, but that's what he says. He expects this very likely to be their busiest store.
Opening next month, right?
For the beginning of October, yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I just get a consensus that no one here objects to Michael's proposed plan for removing those two trees? Does anyone object?
Lisbon's very
nice. Michael, you've got it. You can vote our proxy on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
Good, because I kind of already did, but thank you.
Well, I just was just going to give you some backup in case some of these guys got angry or something. Okay. Public safety, I don't see the chief here. Finance, we've got the budget schedule.
Right. The chief is working shift work this week, so he's not here tonight. And Jeff was not feeling well, and I excused him for the meeting. So you do have a copy of the budget calendar. Is there any questions or conflicts on your schedule? Please let us know. This is designed to try to get the work done, but we can accommodate changes if we need to earlier on. So take a look at that and let us know if you have anything you want us to take a look at. So first off, I want to thank everyone for allowing me to take a vacation. It was wonderful. I had lots of fun with my friends and great to be back. You mentioned the budget is coming up. I think we have lots of work to do. This is also a big year of collective bargaining. Every group we have is going to have to be have negotiations this fall, so there's a big workload with that. We are making some progress with the Gateway project. We've met with some a group of architects and planners that have gotten some traction with some potential medical facilities, which we'll be talking more about that with the Economic Development Committee later this month. And we'll be bringing actually to the council a final plan or final configuration of that committee, so it's an official committee of the council. So far it's been informal. We didn't meet over the summer. It wasn't much to do. But Blaine Connected is starting to make some traction, and we wanted to talk to you about that. Chief Hollander did mention that on Thursday morning, 9/11 presentation at Peace Arch, the mayor will be giving just a brief thank you for coming to the city of Blaine as part of that. But all the council members are welcome to attend. It was a very nice ceremony last year, and I'm sure it'll be a nice one again this year.
What time will the actual ceremony be?
Starts at 9. 9 a.m.
So they start out at Swinomish at 8 o'clock and get up here by 9.
Good crowd last year. We also wanted to mention that the Pavilion project, after the council's approval of funding that project, is starting to get traction moving forward. We'll be bringing some plans and drawings to you very soon. We need to come back to the Planning Commission for some revisions to a plan that was approved and then fell out of compliance just because of the timing. But our plan is to move forward with that project this fall, potentially start construction January. We're going to
Which
move that project
that?
Right along. That's the Pavilion project by the Boys and Girls Club. Community Center. So thank you for that. I'll take any directions or comments, questions you might have.
Questions for the manager?
Well, I want to thank our staff. Everyone's working hard, as you can see. They've got things going and making things happen, and we appreciate that. Just one last comment before I forget. We did meet with Simiyamu Resort Association today, continuing that relationship. Raven and Michael and I were up there for about an hour talking to their some of their board members. So we're still working on developing that relationship and improving how we work together. So we'll be bringing some more of that to you later on. All right? Thank you.
Thank you. We have a calendar in front of us. Any changes, Michael or Raven? We're all set for those.
Mm-hmm.
All set for those meetings. Okay. Is there any unfinished business? Any council new business? Hearing none, I adjourn the meeting.
The sewer Terry.